The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaney Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus said, I say to you that, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, Do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord. You are about to hear the story of God's reckless love. What do you imagine when you hear that God's love is reckless? That God just throws it out there without any concern about how it might be received or take root. And I really think this song was written. I'm amazed. I'm going to read these words again. God's reckless love chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. So, this is Cindy Bright. This is Ellen Kulick, who have been involved in the Cayuga County, in a ministry in the Cayuga County Jail for quite some time, and have a story to tell. And we're all kind of waiting to see how God is going to tell the story, because it was completely different at 9 o'clock than it was at 7:30. I'm always amazed when that happens. You're going to be blessed, though, to hear what God is doing. So, Cindy, would you tell us why you started in this ministry, how that happened?
First of all, good morning. So 10 years ago, Father Peter Major asked myself and two of my friends if we would join him in the jail ministry, his jail ministry at Cayuga County Jail. And I thought about it for a little bit, and then I told him, Father Peter, that's just not me. You know, that's not my thing. I'm a medical person, and I feel really comfortable in medical settings. I don't know anything about jails. I don't think I'd be comfortable there. That's just not for me. And there was a long pause, and he didn't say anything, but then he kept asking over and over again. And finally, out of respect for him, I said, okay, I'll try, I'll see what this is about. But I can tell you, it's not my thing, I kept saying. So I can remember pretty vividly the first time I walked into the jail with him. And Cayuga County Jail, being a newer facility, is incredibly, immaculately clean and very bright, a lot of light. which was shocking in and of itself. It wasn't my image of a jail, but it also was very sterile and did not feel very welcoming. And as we passed through the registration desk and multiple doors that then began to lock behind me, I realized there was not going to be an easy escape for me, no matter how this went. I went with him a couple times and first started with visiting the women, and then he took me to visit the men, which was really intimidating. There were 10 men that were big and a lot of tattoos, and I felt really out of my element. And I was supposed to be just an observer, and then Father Peter turned to me and he said, "Cindy, explain to these men why you come to the jail." And I kind of wanted to say, "Because you made me." But I didn't. But I also don't know why I said the words that came out of my mouth, because I certainly hadn't planned them. But I said, "Because I feel the presence of God here." And it was true, but I don't know where that came from.
I love that. Surprised. Again, a C.S. Lewis quote. I think he has a book that's called Surprised by Grace. And, Ellen, so would you tell us what drew you to the jail ministry?
And Cindy was talking about how she was visiting the jail with this retired priest, Father Peter, and another friend. And she was talking about the women and how some of the women who were there were, you know, drug abusers. They had been abused themselves. Some of them had committed violent crimes. And how she would visit these women and that they needed more people to go visit the women. And before I could even realize what was happening, out of my mouth, I heard myself say, "Oh, well, I would do that." So Cindy persisted, and I went to the jail with Cindy. And as she said, it's very intimidating when you go in. You know, there's a lot of security, double doors you're going through. There's tape on the, now we're all used to tape on the floor, but then I wasn't used to tape on the floor. And there was tape that went down the hall, long corridor, and we asked what that was for. And the prison guard told us that if we're walking in the hallway, or they're walking in the hallway, and an inmate is in the hallway because they're working in the cafeteria and the laundry and they're moving about, that they need to stay on that side of the line. So that was sort of like, oh, okay. But so they take us down to the women's pod, which is a large room, and there's doors all along it, which is like individual cells where these women stay. And then they brought us into a conference room. And in came like 8 to 10 women to sit around the table with us. And it's hard to explain, but as we sat there and we prayed with those women, just the presence of God was palpable. And it wasn't because of us. It was because of them. And that's what just drew me to keep coming back to the jail. And the women will say that, you know, they feel that our presence there changes things in the jail, not just for them, but in the whole atmosphere in the women's pod.
I love that. Your love, again, the song, "Your love fought for me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me." So would you describe what it's like? So you have a day that you go into the jail. What do you do?
So our group has grown from just a few people over the years to now we have 10 people that go in pretty regularly when the jail is open to us, not closed because of COVID. We typically try to go in pairs. That's the ideal when we go for a visit, but that doesn't always work out. There's of our group, about half of us are committed to going and seeing the women and prefer seeing the women, and the other half feel strongly they're called to minister to the men. So, and we all, despite all the variability and between us and all the jail ministers, we do kind of follow a similar pattern of how we encounter, you know, what happens during the encounter with the inmates. So what we do is we typically come in and we welcome the people that are new to the group, and we make sure we introduce ourselves and we make sure we use their names so that they're not just in the group, but they're recognized as being special. And then for the new people, we hand out some of the materials that we bring with us if they want to receive them. So one of them is the Recovery Bible that is supported by one of the other churches in our ministry. And it goes along with a 12-step workbook, works out really well because the majority of the inmates have issues with addiction, and they're very familiar with the 12-step programs. And this Bible, throughout the Bible, there are references to each of the individual steps. So it really weaves in the healing process of the 12-step program. Then we also hand out this book called Jesus Calling, which is a daily devotional, and that is what St. James Parish helps support the purchase of. We typically start with an opening prayer and a period of relaxation and breathing, which is not only helps to prepare them and settle us all down for what's going to happen in the room, but it also is a great tool for the inmates because they frequently struggle with anger and a lot of sadness and frustration, and so it's a tool for them to use other times during the day. We next go to a reading from the daily devotion from Jesus Calling, and we have a little discussion about that. And then typically the jail minister will start to lead a reflection based on a biblical reading. So sometimes it's the readings for that Sunday. Sometimes it's based on a theme like forgiveness. And other times it's based on, like, we work our way and progress through one of the books of one of the Gospels just so that people can get introduced to Jesus. After more discussion, we ask for any prayer requests that they have, and then we typically ask one of the inmates to close in prayer.
So, Ellen, you already described surprise at getting started in the ministry. Have there been other surprises along the way, things that you've learned, things that you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the greatest surprises is just that, you know, I don't know about you, but when I think of people in jail, like, I think they're bad. Maybe even some people are evil. And maybe that's true for some people, but I haven't found that yet. You know, so when I go into the jail, like, they're just women like me. And maybe they made a mistake. Well, they made a mistake that got them there, but who here hasn't made a mistake? You know, they just want to be loved. And so when I go there, my greatest prayer is that they would see God's love And so I pray that when I look at them, I have to pray really hard about this, like that when I look at them, I just look at them with love. And so sometimes, like when I go with Cindy, she does all that other stuff, and I'm just sitting there praying for the women or just looking at them until I get the opportunity to just say, you know, and Sally, God really loves you. Like God is like, you know, just waiting for you to know that. And that's like that song, when I hear that, the reckless love of God, you know, I always think of, yeah, how God kicked down walls for me, but God kicks down walls for them too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that's the greatest thing, that if they can feel God's love and see God's love, and it shows up every time. I mean, right? Because there's no place that God is not.
So Cindy didn't expect to do jail ministry. Wasn't like your career goal. And it's been more than 10 years? Way more than 10 years, right? Yeah. So what has kept you engaged?
I think that, you know, I fell in love with these women. And what they brought, their honesty, their vulnerability, their stories, it really affected me in a way that I didn't think was ever going to happen. I found myself thinking about women in the jail all the time, and still do, even though we're not in the jail visiting right now, I'm still thinking about them. And it's from that lens that I interpret a lot of things that that happen. Like when I was listening to that song that we're referencing, that we just sang, I said, oh, I've got to bring these words into the jail. So things that I'll hear or things that I see or prayers on my own heart, I am always viewing it from the sense of, from their perspective. And so it's really changed my lens of how I view life. And so that keeps drawing me back. Mm. The other thing I can say is that no matter how difficult the conversation turns within, you know, when during our meetings, when I'm driving back from Auburn, I have this overwhelming sense of joy that I don't experience in other parts of my life, and that draws me back too. So if I haven't been there in a while for whatever reason, I know I have to go back.
So Ellen, you and Cindy asked to be able to speak to the people of St. James about this ministry because you are sensing an opening, perhaps some opportunity, want to share, that you want to share what you get to experience. But so what, if someone here is thinking they might like to do something, what are the opportunities?
So when we first talk about what we do, in some way it's limited by the number of people that the jail will allow on their list to go in and visit. So right now we're kind of capped at our 10. But when I think about what the Holy Spirit can do, I mean, the possibilities are endless. We have a list in the back, but there's always need for prayer. There's need for communicating, letter writing with these inmates, both in jail and then if they go off to prison. But then there are just greater possibilities that we might not even be thinking about. I mean, one of the things I've seen there is there's just this cycle of abuse and poverty, and the women can't get out of it. So, you know, they've been abused and told they're worthless and kicked their whole life, and so for whatever reason now they've got themselves into jail or drug abuse, and then they're there for a while and maybe they get clean, but then they go right back out into those same circumstances. So how is anything supposed to change, right? Nothing in their life other than they're being clean changed, but So there's opportunities, I think, for people to help, you know, with justice reform, with aftercare maybe for these prisoners when they come out. I mean, how great would it be to invite people who've been in jail to come to our church because we're welcoming and we would accept them and show them God's love here? And maybe they only come a few times, but if they can feel that love in one place and know it's safe, maybe they can find another one. You know, I'm going to go off the script, Becky, but one of my greatest dreams is something called Tiffany's House, which would be an aftercare house for women, because there's not really a place in Auburn when they come out where they could go and live in a safe place where they could get the support services they need so that they could get their children back and they could learn how to have a job and hold a job and take care of their family. So, I mean, that would take a lot of time and commitment and financial resources, but again, the Spirit can do anything, right? So that's my biggest dream.
Do you have a dream, Cindy?
Well, that's my dream too. We share that dream. And that's a big one. But I think the other, one of the reasons that we're talking about this is not only to bring, increase your awareness about this ministry that we participate in, but also to grow it, you know, and to hear the Holy Spirit through all of you, how we can grow this ministry, how we can help it individually and as a church. And you know, one of the ideas we've brought up is to start with a book study so that we could all kind of understand better the justice system, but also that gives a forum for everyone to participate about and brainstorm about how we could grow this ministry within St. James.
So a book study for people here,
yes.
To just, okay, yes. Yeah, all right. Ellen, I wonder if you have a story you might like to share.
Yeah, so
because I have actually heard it. It's pretty amazing.
Read those words from the line again. Leave the 99, the song.
Yeah. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
So think about that as you listen to these words from a woman.
Let me read the refrain, because okay. It goes on. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so kind to me.
So this is from a woman who was leaving the jail to go to prison, and she left a letter for us. And part of what she said is, "You have been such a special blessing in my life. God must have seen how badly I needed the light and love you all brought into my life. The only people who ever loved me were my dad and my best friend who passed away, and my children, whom I lost because I kept coming to jail. I was so lost and broken, and all my hope was gone. I believed everything my mother told me was true. I was worthless, and I would never amount to anything. I look back on who I was when I came here, and I feel like a different person. And I know all the changes came because of all the seeds you planted in my heart. You are my angels. God's love shone through your eyes and broke down the walls around my heart. I realized for the first time how much God must love me to bring you to me when I needed you most. The world saw a lost cause, but God said no, because he knew I just needed someone to love me until I could love myself. I'm not all the way there, but I don't hate myself anymore. And some days I like myself, and I get stronger every day, and God loves me, and I know that now."
Cindy, anything else you want to add? Anything we've forgotten to mention?
I think that says it all, that letter.
Thank you. So so much for sharing today.
Journey of faith. All are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.